Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Dolly Varden Silver Corp, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DV and on the OTC markets under the symbol DOLLF. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Sean Kunkun. Now, Sean, you took over Dolly Varden Silver back in February of last year. I haven't had a chance to follow up with you and actually bring you on the show until now, but I think this is good timing because as the company is working forward towards the drill program at this Dolly Varden Silver project in the Golden Triangle, I wanted to bring everybody up to speed on where the project stands and some of the plans that are coming this year and even flowing into next year. Let's start off with just a little background on this Dolly Varden Silver project. It's high-grade silver, as I mentioned, in the Golden Triangle. Where does the resource stand on this Dolly Varden project, please, Sean?
Corey, thanks so much for having me on. The resource currently stands at 44 million ounces of 300 gram per ton silver. That's not a silver equivalent, that's silver. So 44 million ounces of high-grade silver, and there has been about 20 million ounces of production from the property at an average grade of about 500 grams per ton.
So this overall resource is made up of four different mines on the property. Please take us through the main area, this Torbrit zone that holds most of the resource, but then also how the other three deposits play into this overall resource, please.
Yeah, no, good question. So what we have a total of four mines that make up the resource, and Torbrit is the biggest weighting. So of the 20 million ounces that were produced, 18 million ounces came out of the Torbrit mine. Yet there's still 35.5 million ounces still left intact at Torbrit. So a lot of investors ask me, well, why did production cease? And so if you go back to 1959, you had a silver price that was 85 cents an ounce, and at 85 cents an ounce silver, just was not a profitable mine. Fast forward to 2021, we've got a spot silver price of $25 US. So Dolly is looking, is very, very, very interesting. And so 35 of the 44 million ounces are at the Torbrit mine.
Okay, so as I mentioned, you took over this company back at the beginning of last year, and my understanding is you really have a three-year plan when you came in to move this company and project forward. Take us through so far what you've accomplished last year and now how it ties in with year two this year.
Okay, so what I inherited was a great company. You know, this is a past producer. This is a high grade opportunity. It's located in Canada, so you know it's quite rare and unique compared to a lot of our competitors that are in southern countries like Chile, Argentina, Peru. So what I inherited was a company that had a $20 million valuation, $20 million market cap. There was a few million dollars in the treasury. And so what I did is I had a vision for the company, and my vision was to inventory high quality silver ounces in the ground. And that was sort of the first step of the vision. And so I shared the vision and I shared the team's vision and the team's skill set or skills matrix with renowned investor Eric Sprott. Eric has supported the vision and came in as a 19-9 shareholder. So really, you know, 2020 was about recapitalizing the company, getting the currency up so that we could dynamically look at growing the company organically through exploration, but also if the right M&A opportunity came up, we could do an accretive acquisition. So I'm happy to say, from a lot of the capital markets metrics, trading volumes went from $20,000 a day of liquidity. We're trading on average about $500,000 worth of stock a day now. You know, the share price went up exponentially. We've capitalized the company by raising over $26 million accretively. So, you know, 30 cents, 45 cents, 71 cents, a dollar a share. So, you know, we're now in a position where we've got $23 million in the bank. We've got this tremendous cornerstone resource. It's a modern resource. It was compiled in 2019. So we have a high degree of confidence in terms of the data. In addition to the resource, we've got the metallurgical work that is showing us very, very, very high recoveries. So just below 90 percentile, which is extremely good for a project of this signature. And really the next step is to grow the existing mines through stepping out, and we did some of that in 2020. So if you look at some of our highlight results, we stepped out and we came up with some really, really big wide intercepts. It's not uncommon for this project to produce 30, 40, 50 meter wide intercepts of 400, 500, and 600 gram per ton silver results, and so we're growing Torbrit. So 50% of our focus this exploration season is going to be around the existing mineralization, the existing resource, methodically stepping out and growing it, but also expanding the high grade within it. You know, we've brought in a team of engineers. One of them is an advisor to the company, Ryan Waymark. And in addition to all the strong technical people that we have around the name, like Don Byrack, Rob McLeod, Jody Gibson, Rob Van Egmont. So this team is all working together at making some high-level engineering decisions on advancing and developing, and we're working internally on some studies on that front. But what's really exciting, what's really going to move the needle for us, and I'll use Great Bear as an example for this. You know, you had the Dixie project, but once they stepped out and hit the NT zone, it's really when the stock went from a dollar to, I think the high was $20 a share. So for us, what's going to give us that exponential growth is coming up with another Torbrit discovery. And, you know, we've got a tremendous amount of targets. We've got the right team. We're well capitalized. We've got a group of scientists that are experts on the Golden Triangle. They've worked on every major mine in this area. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we have to be realistic in terms of it takes time to dynamically grow and change these companies, and hence when I first started having that 3-year vision. So we're in year two of that vision. But there could be something external that just comes out of left field, like a takeover or some type of M&A activity that we'll have to bring to our shareholders. And that is a part of Dolly's rich history. In 2016, one of our second largest shareholder, Hecla, had a failed takeover attempt. It was unsolicited. But we've got a great relationship with Hecla today. We're in good communication. We have one of their representatives on our board. We have a joint technical committee, and my culture and my spirit here is looking at this area as a region, as a district, and how do we work with our neighbors like Fury, who has a 1 million-ounce gold deposit at Homestake Ridge with 18 million ounces of silver, and how do we look at this and how do we develop this as a district? And unlike a lot of our neighbors in the Triangle that are hindered by a lack of infrastructure or projects that are you know, on the sides of mountains, you know, we've got, you know, our project is set in some pretty good terrain in terms of its topography. And we've got a road that goes right from Alice Arm, where we can barge in equipment and supplies, and we can drive right onto our projects. And we've got a power line that comes in from Terrace. So the infrastructure is second to none. And a lot of meaningful endowment in the area, and it's going to be Corey. It's going to be a very, very busy season. Last year, Dolly was the only company in this part of the triangle that was working and drilling, and this year in 2021, we're going to have five companies, including Dolly Varden, that are actively drilling. We've got Fury is going to be drilling about 25,000 meters to the west. Hecla is going to be drilling on their ground to the east, and a couple of other juniors will also be active in the area.
All right, so you addressed a lot of questions that I was going to answer there, including the team and the potential of future takeovers, because I know a lot of people are still wondering what the end game is here, especially when it comes to Hecla, but we'll see how that all progresses in terms of cash in the bank then and then budget for this year and next year, because it really sounds like a two-phase program here where next year you'll obviously be following up on some of the better results, but when it comes to the resource expansion and exploration this year and the overall budget for the program, how much is the company planning on spending on exploration in the next couple of years?
So we've got a $10 million exploration budget, which, you know, by having $23 million in the bank, it leaves us with a healthy cash balance. And just to break down, and, you know, this is particularly critical for savvy resource investors. And so the breakdown on the $23 million is we've got $13 million in hard dollars and $10 million in flow-through dollars.
Okay. And those flow-through dollars then will have to be spent by next year, but that all just ties into the overall program. Sean, I guess just as a final point then, let's talk about your overall goals at the end of this 3 years. Sounds like it is to sell this project. It might even happen before 3 years. Who knows when that'll come, but how is that all going to really play into the work that you guys do, understanding the overall goals here?
Well, you know, for me, I want to see a mine in the area. I look just south of the project, and you know, I want to see this wonderful endowment develop into a mine. And you know, whether Dolly Varden is at the center of that ownership, or you know, our shares get moved along into a larger entity that develops this, ultimately, as long as it's accretive for the shareholders, that's ultimately the end goal: to advance this project, to develop it, and to get production from this area. I applaud some of our neighbors to the north. You know, Ascot is recommissioning their project and taking it back into production. You've had a lot of big deals in the area. Newmont took over GT Gold for $450 million. So we're starting to, Yamana just came into Ascot yesterday with a 6% stake. So we're seeing the majors are here, the Newcrest, the Newmonts, Yamana's now come into the area. We're seeing tremendous growth. One of our neighbors to the north, Skeena, has grown from a $30 million market cap to a 600. And I think there's a lot of similarities in the Dolly Varden story where, you know, they reawakened the Eskay Creek mine. We are reawakening the Dolly Varden mine, which has a lot of similarities to Eskay Creek. So, you know, I'd say we're a third of the way along in terms of where we want to be. But, you know, we're in a very, very, very healthy position today to take advantage of growing mineral inventory through exploration or through M&A.
All right, Sean, interesting chatting with you. Thank you for this update. I will follow up with Sean as more news hits the market, and especially as we move closer to that drilling to start at that Dolly Varden Silver Project. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Sean, I appreciate the time. We'll follow up on the back of some more news.
Thanks, Corey.